Let's turn to, first of all, to Hebrews in chapter 3. One of the things we see in the book of Hebrews is a contrast between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And as you know, that's one of the things I've majored on for what, nearly half a century. Mainly because, number one, because it changed my own life. And secondly, because I find very few Christians have really understood it or been gripped by it. And the tragic thing is that many who have heard me speak about it on many times also are also not gripped by it. That's the sad part of it. Because you can listen to something and it may not grip you. So please listen carefully as we read in Hebrews in chapter 3. Holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful as Moses was. And then he's contrasting Moses with Jesus. And thereby the followers of Moses, which is Old Covenant, with the followers of Jesus, which is New Covenant. And he says the difference is something like this. Jesus, verse 3, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, just like the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. We can't imagine ourselves being greater than John the Baptist. And yet, he says here that the least person, I mean, even if you think you're the least, the absolute lowest and least person in the church of Jesus Christ, which is the kingdom of heaven, if you think you're the least, he says even you have the potential to be greater than John the Baptist. And in trying to understand the new covenant, I tried to think about that. What does that mean to be greater than John the Baptist? Greater opportunities to glorify God and greater opportunities to develop in our life than John the Baptist. There was a limit to how much John the Baptist could grow spiritually. Because even though the Holy Spirit was upon him and anointed him, he did not have the Holy Spirit within him. And there's a lot of difference between having the Holy Spirit upon you and within you. A person can cast out demons and heal the sick and preach powerfully. And at the end of it, Jesus said, in the final day, the Lord can say to him, I don't know you. You did all this, but depart from me, go to hell. Yeah, it's amazing how you can be anointed and go to hell. The first example of that is the devil himself. He was called the anointed cherubim. The anointed cherub, the anointed angel, and he was thrown down from heaven. So, we must, you know, many people seek for some external gift of the Holy Spirit, some anointing to speak in tongues or to preach or heal the sick or something. You can do all that and go to hell. It's far better to have the Holy Spirit within. And I think that is the contrast the Lord is drawing here between John the Baptist and the least person who really enters into God's kingdom, who has the Holy Spirit within. And I feel most of God's people have not valued the Holy Spirit coming in their heart, have not sought for the Holy Spirit to fill their inner life. And that's why they remain in such a pathetically low condition. So I want to say to you, dear brothers, that it is not God's will that we should remain in that low condition where we're always, you know, thinking only in terms of what I can do or serve instead of thinking of what I can be. It's much more important to think of what we can be by the power of God than what we can do. Many people say, I want to do something for the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, at least from today onwards, think more in terms of being B-E-I-N-G, being something for the Lord, than in doing something for the Lord. Being means being more Christ-like. Being more Christ-like in your home, in your conversation especially. It's far more important to be more Christ-like in our conversation than to be the most powerful preacher in the world. I would choose that any day. I said, Lord, help me to be Christ-like in the words I speak in ordinary conversation with my wife, with my brothers and sisters, than any gift of preaching, any day. Because the gift of preaching is an anointing. It's a service. Whereas my mouth speaks out of what comes from the heart, Jesus said. It's not how well you can preach that determines how spiritual you are. Please remember this. It's not how well a preacher X can preach that determines how spiritual he is. Many people are deceived by this. They see a person preaching very powerfully and they think, oh, he's a great man of God. No, I don't say that. He may be like John the Baptist, the greatest preacher of all. And yet the least in God's kingdom can be greater than him. I don't know whether all of us believe that. I don't think you do. I think many of you may still be admiring great preachers and wishing you could preach like that. Dear brothers and sisters, let me urge you to think from today onwards more in terms of being than doing. Being is a million times more important than doing. Doing is the old covenant. Think of all the fantastic things they did. John the Baptist did great things, paving the way for Christ's ministry. But he did things, but he could not be. And one proof of that is that even after he saw the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus, and even though the Father had told him, the one on whom you see the Spirit dwelling, that is my Son. In spite of that, when John the Baptist was in prison, he began to doubt. And he sends a message to Jesus saying, are you really the Messiah? Would you do that if you had seen the dove descending on Jesus and the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, if you had heard it yourself? And if God had spoken to you directly that is my Son, would you doubt it afterwards? I'll tell you, you may say, no, I'll never doubt it. I tell you, you will doubt it if the Holy Spirit is not within you, like John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a better man than you and me. But he doubted it because he didn't have the Holy Spirit within. So that is why I say, seek much more for the fullness of the Holy Spirit within than for any gift of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit are very useful. I have earnestly sought for the gift of teaching, for the gift of prophecy. And it's very, very useful. If I didn't seek for it, I wouldn't have it. I wouldn't be able to bless people with my preaching. But it's not as important for me as being. Because I know it's from being that the teaching can flow. So that is where Jesus meant saying that the least person, the absolutely least person who's filled with the Holy Spirit and in the kingdom of God, who may have no gift of preaching, who has no gift of preaching, who cannot speak for 2 minutes in an anointed way, is greater than John the Baptist. Very, very important for us to understand. We can sit in a church or look at Christians and think that the most gifted people are the greatest. No, they're not. Who is the most valuable person in your church? Whoever is most Christ-like. Believe it or not, that opportunity comes to every one of you. You can't all preach like somebody else. But what's stopping you from becoming more Christ-like, especially in your own home, and especially in your speech? So, all this arises from our understanding of God's relationship with us. We know that John the Baptist could never look up to heaven and say, Dad, Father. He could never say that. Moses could never say that. Not a single person could say that till Jesus came and looked up to heaven and said, Father. He was the first man who could look up to heaven from this earth and say, Father. Of course, he was the Son of God. But the wonderful thing is that he told us, when you look up to heaven, you must also say, Father. I wonder whether you realize the tremendous privilege The Romans chapter 8 says the Holy Spirit has come within and cries out, Father. Now, there's a lot of difference. Let me tell you this. Let me show you this verse in Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 15, it says, the Holy Spirit from within cries out, verse 15, saying, Abba, Abba, a correct translation, Abba would be daddy. Abba is a Hebrew equivalent of what, if it's translated into English, it is daddy. Romans 8, 15. We have received the Holy Spirit, last part of verse 15, as sons, not as slaves, which cries out, Daddy. I want to ask you, my dear brothers and sisters, have you felt that in your heart? Or has somebody educated you saying, hey, call him daddy. Call God daddy. Call God father. Like you have to tell some small boy, call him. Or have you found the Holy Spirit within you crying out, Dad? If you have only been educated by somebody quoting a verse to you, saying, hey, this verse says God is your father, now call him daddy. And you say that. In a time of crisis, you will not turn to him as daddy because you've been educated to call him daddy, but you don't know him as a daddy. There's a lot of difference between knowing someone is your dad and being educated to call somebody dad. You know, supposing somebody's adopted a child who grew up in some other home, and you come to this new home and you teach that child, now call this person dad. He's adopted, you know, he's your dad. And he has to train himself to call himself dad. But the child that's born into that home doesn't have to be trained. He's just dad. From a young age, he says, Daddy. That is what the Holy Spirit does. And I want to ask you whether this verse, Romans 8:15, has been fulfilled in your life. We have received a spirit of adoption, means the word there is of being placed as sons, not as we understand adoption today. Of being placed as sons, by which the Spirit makes us cry out, Daddy, Father. And that is so much different from the Old Testament people who just say, oh God, oh God. Now, I know this is all elementary, but the test of it is when you face a trial. The test of it is when you come into some problem. Then you will know whether you have to remember a verse to comfort you at that time. Oh, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God. So I presume that this also must be working for good. I'm not too sure about it. But I presume it's going to work for my good. There's a lot of difference in that. And you're facing a situation and spontaneously crying out, Daddy. It's like a little child who suddenly faces a difficult situation and cries out, Dad, help me. That is the cry of a person who's got the Holy Spirit within him that spontaneously tells him, listen, your dad's in heaven. I want to ask you, my brother, I wish every one of you would be gripped by this, just like a child would spontaneously turn to his dad in a tough situation, that we would turn like that to our Father in heaven and say, Dad, I'm your child, I know you care for me.